the truth, will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. It's sure great to have you along today, and I hope that you enjoy the study. We're in John chapter 5, and we're going to continue the study there. I hope that you don't think that we go too slowly through the Word of God. We do repeat a lot. We go back through a lot of verses of Scripture. But you know, I have found through the years as I have proclaimed the Word of God and taught the Word of God, that that's the way we learn the Word of God, is by going over it again and again. And each time we learn just a little bit, something a little bit more each time that we study it. And so that's one reason why that we don't get in such a hurry sometimes, and we find ourselves taking our time going verse by verse and just enjoying it. Now we're going to read today, and we're going to begin with the 16th verse, and we're going to read from the 16th verse all the way across to the 26th verse. And so from verse 16 to verse 26, I'd like for you to open your Bibles and search those scripture verses out so that you can read along with me. And as you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd like to hear from you if you would take a minute to write. And I love to hear if you're saved, if you're growing in the Lord Jesus, when you were saved, just if you're enjoying the program, things of that sort. I'd love to hear from you, any special burdens that we can pray for. And it would be the same address, Parkview Bible Church. But I'd like for you to add the box number, box 43. And that would be Parkview Bible Church, box 43, Hamilton, Illinois. And the zip code would be 62341. So please, that you would address that and send us a note. We'd love to hear from you. Now, if you're ready to read along with me in John chapter 5, we're going to begin reading with verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of itself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater things than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judge no man, but he hath committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not his Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Let's end with that now, and we'll begin with prayer. Father, we thank you that we can come and read your precious word, that we have the opportunity to have it right before us, Lord. We don't have to hide it. We don't have to try to memorize just a few verses of Scripture, because we do not have the opportunity to have the word with us. It's such an honor and a privilege that we have. Please, that we do not abuse it, but we use the Word of God and use it often to know more about you, to learn how we're to live, to learn how to be saved. All these things, our whole life is set upon your Word. Please help us to see that, and please help us to carry that great news to others, that others too would be saved. Now please, Lord, touch each one of our hearts, grow us, show us again salvation, or show us where we need to be or how we need to be serving you. Whatever purpose you have for us, I ask that you'll make it so clearly today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've kind of ended just a little bit there. Last time we were together, that the Jews were so set upon the Lord Jesus that they were wanting to slay him, to kill him. And they had some very serious charges here against him. And those charges were that he had healed this man on the Sabbath day. And again, it was just showing the ignorance of man that they would not desire. You would think that there would be enough good in a man that they would appreciate having someone that they knew healed, someone that no longer again would be a burden on society, but he could continue to work and to do what he needed to do to raise his own wages to eat and things of that sort, of home to live in and those things. But man is not, there is no good in man. It's all evil. It's all wicked. And so, my friend, we need to come to Jesus. We need to be saved, and we need to walk after him so clearly. Please that you do not forsake the opportunity of salvation and coming to the Lord Jesus. These people, these Jewish leaders, they sought so much to put Jesus away. Now, we find the answer here in verse 17, or a statement in verse 17 now. But Jesus answered them, "My Father works hitherto, and I work." You see, when it starts and it comes to the work of salvation, and it comes to the work of getting this sin-sick world out of its sickness and out of way from sin, and it's just as if they have fallen into the ditch of sin, one man had said, and the Lord Jesus has come to get us out of that ditch. And I rejoice in knowing Jesus, that he has taken me from that ditch and he has set me on a path of righteousness, a path that the Lord Jesus wants. And that doesn't mean by any means that I don't fail him and I don't forsake him. But my friend, he forgives me. I walk after him. But there's only one time that you need to come for salvation and trust in him. This man here was told to rise up and walk. He did. The next time these two meet, at this time, this man doesn't even know who did it, doesn't know who told him to do that. But they meet once again, and we find that this time he finds out who that it is. And we find this in verse 14. The first time was in verse 9, 8 and 9. The next time we find him in verse 14. Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, thou art made whole." Now when he comes out and he tells the Jewish leaders immediately that, yes, I know who this is. The man that made me whole is Jesus. That's a wonderful, very simple testimony. I hope that you have a wonderful, simple testimony. I hope that you do know Jesus as your Savior. Please do not trust on something that your parents have taught you or parents have told you. Don't depend upon your salvation for baptism or church membership or all those things. It is clearly, clearly comes from and by the Lord Jesus. He convicts your heart. He shows you the condition that you're in, and then you have a choice to make. Are you going to come to Jesus and be saved and your sins forgiven and you'll be set free and begin this walk? Or will you reject that walk and turn away and continue to live as the world lives, just as it is today, as so many people have decided against Jesus? I have decided to serve Jesus. Or I have decided not to serve Jesus. And by your not coming to the Lord Jesus by faith, you have decided not to serve him. It's not a matter that it just you kind of move into it because of your parents or because of the church you attend. That's not the case at all. It is strictly a relationship that you have personally with the Lord Jesus, or you do not. So please come to him today. He tells us here, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Now look what the Jews said in verse 18. "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath," which, boy, that's terrible, isn't it? That's, oh my. He should be put to death. I mean, isn't that so foolish? Doesn't that show you a little bit the ignorance of man? But it's only because they have walked with the tradition that they have established, a tradition probably that their fathers or their grandfathers or their great-grandfathers had set up in the church, but it had become so strong that they were willing to put a man to death because he broke the Sabbath, and he broke it in their mind, in such a manner that this man was healed, was made whole, and that was held to his against the Lord Jesus. And then the next thought that we have is that Jesus isn't just a man. Jesus is God. Well, that's what brought it all to a head, because when they came into the presence of Jesus, Jesus shows them their sin. When you come into the presence of Jesus, when you come into a good, strong, Bible-believing church, and you come in here, you'll feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, it doesn't necessarily give you shivers or bring goosebumps onto you. That will occur from time to time, depending on how the Lord's dealing with you. Certain words are proclaimed out of His Word that may happen, but that's not some sign that has to be there. But you will feel and you'll know the presence of Jesus. We've come into this place and He is here because we preach the truth. Not because we're a special church or a special name or I'm a special preacher by any means. And just the opposite, I've failed in so many ways. But the truth is preached here. And it's preached here, and people are growing here day by day, little bit by little bit. It's such a joy to study the Word of God and grow in the Word of God. But here they not only had one thing on Him, and that was He healed this man on the Sabbath day, but also He has said that God was His Father. Not our Father, kind of a universal statement, but His Father. Look at verse 17. Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Oh, that just made them all the madder. But they said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God, in verse 18. Jesus has never lied. Jesus has never stretched the truth. Jesus has never told just a little white lie to accomplish what He wants. Jesus is always truthful. I love this. The name of this program, it's the truth. And that's exactly where we stand. We stand upon the Word of God. Instead of them listening to Jesus as this poor man that was lame listened and became whole, instead of these religious leaders listening and was made whole, they were mad. Now, why the difference? Because one knew that they were broken. And the other believes that they're whole. They have no need to be repaired, fixed, changed, made whole. How about you? How about you? Are you one that doesn't even go to church at all anymore? Are you one that sits in the church and you are very faithful? You work very hard in the church? But you don't even know the Word of God. Do you carry your Bible to church? That's a question I want to ask you. Do you carry your Bible to church? Now, I'm going to ask another question. If you do, do you open it? We keep Bibles in the pews for those that do not bring theirs or have forgotten it, or maybe their young son or daughter or someone doesn't have one, so you can use it. And they do get used quite often. But the folks here are very much aware that they carry their Bible. And they're going to be asked to open that Bible. Not just once, not just twice, but several times. Because they'll be looking up verses of Scripture while I'm preaching. We come to Bible study on Sunday night and Wednesday night. They bring their Bibles. They open their Bibles. They study their Bibles. And we go verse by verse. It's hard to tell where we're going to be in the Word of God. And oh, we enjoy it. We enjoy it. But my friend, most people would rather have an outing or an activity, have a band in, or have some other kinds of activities, and they're all pathetic. Oh, they bring the numbers in, but it does not bring the people to Jesus, and it does not bring them to the truth. The only way that comes is when you study the Word of God. These people had been deceived. They'd probably been deceived by their parents and by their grandparents. Is that the way you are? Are you a third or fourth generation in the church where you're at? And you've never heard the words that Jesus is saying here? You've never heard that you need to be made whole? It continues as we go through these verses of Scripture. They're so mad at the Lord Jesus. They're so mad at God because he calls himself God. Well, again, he does not lie. He did not break the Sabbath. He did not blaspheme the Lord because blaspheme God because he is God. When they said he says he's equal with God, they was right. They were correct. Verse 19, then answered Jesus again, said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. As we look at that verse of Scripture, one thing that I want to bring to your attention, and I do it almost every time, and that is, verily, verily, means listen, means pay attention. And I always want you to, I always try to make you aware of that. Pay attention. Jesus is speaking here, and Jesus is speaking some very clear words. And he's telling these people that the Son can do nothing of himself. He is bringing together the relationship of the Father and the Son. They are not only close, but they are one. Different than a father and son today, and that is a father and son today will have some differences of opinion. They will look at things differently in how they do the work of the day. And as a job or as a responsibility is comes before us, and you know, if I do it one way, and I would expect my son to do it the same way. Now, I like to think that I will look if my son wants to do it a different way, as long as it accomplishes the same thing, as long as it's done correctly. No matter which way it's done, as long as it's done correctly. Now, different then with the Lord Jesus and God the Father, God the Son, God the Father, they're one. They don't ever have a question on how they're going to do something or why they're doing something, because you see, they are in complete harmony. They are one. There's no two thoughts on it and we'll figure out which way is the best. There's only one thought because it's one. And so for Jesus to speak of the Father here, and it says, verily, verily, listen very carefully to this, he's saying. Listen very carefully, that the Son can do nothing of himself. The Son depends on everything from the Father. And agrees completely on everything that comes from the Father. There's no argument, there's no discussion, there's no deception. It is right, it is perfect, and they are together always. Always. He tells us the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these do the Son likewise. Jesus says, I am here to do the commands of my Father. And what I am called upon to do, I will do. Verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he does. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. He's going to show him all things he does, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. What happened? He raised a man that couldn't be raised by the doctors or by the soothsayers or anybody of the day. They could not raise this lame man. They could not. But Jesus did. But he's saying here that as the Father shows me and I will do because I am completely in agreement with my Father and I'll do what my Father has asked me to do. If you think this is something, you wait and see. Because this is nothing. Could he have been speaking of raising the dead? Because he's going to do that. He heals many times. Many times it's not recorded in his precious word. does he heal. But there are recorded the recordings many times of his healing and of his raising of the dead. I'll show you greater things than these. He makes another statement here in verse 22, or 21, I'm sorry, 21. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. First of all, we begin to tie very closely as one, Jesus is God. Now we've moved a little further, and it says that Jesus, as the Father, Jesus the Son, can raise the dead. He told him, I'm going to show you greater things than these. Well, he's going to tell him about them first. I'm capable of raising the dead as my Father is. I am God. I can raise the dead. Yes, I can heal the sick, but I can raise the dead. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens when he will. And then another comment and statement that he makes, in some folks call it a claim. He has three claims here. One, that Jesus says, I am God. The second is, Jesus says, I can raise the dead. And the third, Jesus says, I will judge. And we find that here in verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. The Lord Jesus is going to be the judge. We have two judgments, and we need to take just a quick look at those two judgments. And if you would look in your Bible to 2 Corinthians 5:10, you ask, well, why is there going to be two judgments? Well, there'll be a judgment for the lost, and there'll be a judgment for the saved. And we're going to look at the judgment of the saved first here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, as we look at that verse of Scripture, you think, well, if I live a good life, then I'll be at the judgment seat of Christ, and I'll have my good works judged, and then everything will be okay. That's not right. The only people that's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ are those that are saved, those that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And yes, you will be judged for the things done in your body after you're saved. There is a judgment. We're responsible for what we've done with our lives after we're saved. Jesus has bought and paid for us with his precious blood. He died on the cross of Calvary that we might live. And I want to serve him. I want to praise his name. That's the reason we have this program. That's the reason I have the Bible studies and preach the word. Because I love the Lord Jesus. I love serving him. And I walk each day. I love studying his word. I love fellowshipping with him. You see, I don't serve a dead God. I don't have a statue in front of me. You don't find pictures in my house of the Lord Jesus, whether up on the cross or not on the cross. Because Jesus is alive. And we don't know what he looks like, and we're told not to worship any image. We're to praise and honor him, and we're to do it in spirit. And I love serving the Lord Jesus and walking after him. But in this body, there'll be a time of judgment, and that's called the judgment seat of Christ. And I will be judged. So will every other believer. Now let's go to the other judgment, the lost, the judgment of the lost. You'll find that back in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. We'll read from the 11th verse unto the 15th. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, for whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you've been with me very long, you've heard this verse of Scripture read many times. The great white throne judgment. That is a judgment of the lost. That judgment, when it takes place, those that are dead. And that doesn't necessarily mean, that isn't talking about a physical death. That's talking about spiritually dead. And that's the condition you're in today if you have not come by faith to the Lord Jesus and been saved. And there are two sets of books here. One is just one book. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, your works, name and works, are recorded in the books. And those books are opened. And as those books are opened, volumes and volumes of your works will be listed. And then the books will be closed. You'll be found to be without, because they're nothing that's going to save you, because you have neglected and rejected the Lord Jesus, your only way. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire, verse 15 tells us. There will be a judgment for the lost, and there will be a judgment for the saved, and there will be a physical judgment of both. Do not believe that the judgment that we face is going to be, there'll be a bodily resurrection of the saved and the lost as well. Many people believe that we go into the grave, we just stay there. Well, that's not according to the Word of God, and I use the Word of God as my way and my direction. So you see now, we have in verse 19, verily, verily, listen to these things. And he makes three very special points, and even a fourth, because he speaks of the honor in verse 23. But he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. Jesus is God. They are one, they are complete, and they are together in everything. They are one. Jesus is going to be, has the capability and the power and the strength to even raise the dead. Well, that's exactly what he did with my life. He raised me from the dead. I was spiritually dead and I was lost, and he raised me from the dead by the cross of Calvary. You see, when I trusted by faith in the Lord Jesus, I became a part of the cross of Calvary, the death on the cross of Calvary that Jesus faced for me. I was buried with him, and I rose with him. That's the joy that I have in being a believer in Jesus Christ. Please that you come to Jesus and trust in him as well. So you see, not only is he capable, as we've just read in the Revelation and 2 Corinthians, we've looked at the two judgments, the one of the saved, the other of the lost. But also we have, my friend, we have Jesus is God, Jesus raises the dead, and Jesus is the judge. Those three things are very clear in these verses of Scripture. All are qualities, characters of God, responsibilities of God, the Lord Jesus. And they are telling these Jewish leaders so clearly who this man Jesus is. So I hope that you don't miss that Jesus is God. I hope that you don't miss that he has the power to not only raise the physical dead, but he has the power to raise the spiritually dead. And that's you if you have not come to the Lord Jesus and come by faith and you have a personal relationship with Jesus. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. And then we find that also covering and coming after that time, the opportunity we have to be raised from the dead, Jesus will be our judge. Whether of the saved or the lost, he will be our judge. He'll be every person's judge. Now you want to face him with a joy and a peace in your heart because you've walked after him and served him? Or are you going to chance it with your own strength and your own way? It comes down to one thing, dear friend. What are you going to do about Jesus.